Thank you, Bob, for that wonderful blessing, and thank you everyone who's in. We're going to begin worship here in a moment, so if you'd like to enter into the sanctuary and take your traditional pew seat, if you have one, that would be great. Many of us choose to have a seat and we sit in it no matter what church we go to. We sit in that same pew. Well, once again, welcome. My name is Chris Townsend. It's great to be with you. I'm the intentional interim pastor here. If you're joining us online, thank you for doing that as well. We have a wonderful worship opportunity prepared for you to enjoy and be part of in the prayers, in the litany, in the singing of songs, all to partake as we honor Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. What else do we honor today? Mothers, women. We also honor you on this Mother's Day. Many of you are blessed to have children. And of course, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, all of us had a mother or have a mother. So we have that connection with mothers no matter what, and we honor that. You see the flowers here. We're going to give one to each woman at the end of the service in the back. That way you aren't playing with it during the whole worship service, because I know some of you would. But thank you for being here. Thank you for celebrating Mother's Day together as well. Thank you for all of you who were able to support Mabel and her family at the service yesterday. It was wonderful to see many of you and to see former Pastor Tim, who worshiped here and led worship here in the beginning times of Harbor of Joy. So it was good to be with him. Sarah and I found out in speaking with he and his wife, when he retires, he's going to Arizona, and we're going to live about 4 miles from one another. God works things in mysterious ways. Also, please be aware, on Saturday morning, Mariah Watke died, so she's with our Lord in heaven. We don't have any other information at this time. We'll relay that next week, maybe some hardcore information in the bulletin in that regard. And for sure, a big thank you to Steve and Lynn Ann. My computer, the pastor's computer, crashed. This would have been a really short sermon if they didn't get up and running. So blame them if it's too long of a sermon. So please be aware of that. Also, home visits, so vital for myself as intentional interim to come into your home to visit with you. There's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship area. This week, the church is going to be closed for 2 days. It's in the bulletin because of electrical. We're having the electrical panel replaced. So I'm free all day, those 2 days. So go ahead and look at the sign-up sheet that's in the back in the fellowship area and sign up as you desire. If the time isn't there, maybe you want to meet in the morning on one of those 2 days especially, just come up and let me know and we'll make it happen. So that'll be a blessing as well. And please note, I'm contagious to cats. Really contagious to cats. So I'm sorry? You'll have the coffee on. Your cat and you drink coffee in the morning. I've never met a caffeinated cat. I don't know if you have either. Well, let's start worship today with prayer. God, we thank you for the blessing you are in our life, that you have gathered us as the body of Christ, Harbor of Joy, together. We're thankful for that. Be present with us this morning. In our laughter, in our joy, be present with us as we worship you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand for our call to worship at this time. You see it coming up on the screen. It's also at this moment printed in your bulletin if you need it in that fashion as well. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family.
She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh for the days to come.
And we sing together our opening song, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
King of God.
us join together in sharing our Christian statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Please join with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for being up here, and we'll have you come back up at the end of the sermon. It's a blessing to have all of you participate. Please be seated. Thank you. Our first scripture reading is from Exodus chapter 2. If you would like to turn to that in your own Bible or follow along as I read it, please feel welcome to do either. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." For the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This ends our first reading. Our second reading comes from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. And this reading is going to be familiar to so very many of you. Chapter 13, beginning at verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor or dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only reflection as in a mirror. Then shall we see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This ends our readings for today. This morning's message may seem a little different because we're not only here to worship on the sixth Sunday in the Easter season, but we're also here to honor women, to honor mothers. This morning's message is titled, Women, Mothers, a Blessing from God. This is a day for greetings and for expressions. It is also a day for remembering. Florists actually tell us that Valentine's Day, Easter, and Mother's Day are their busiest days of the year. I ought to be a florist right now, raking in the dough. All kinds of shops, including Lisa's Bake Shop or Creative Cakes, By the way, I've been to Lisa's and enjoyed it. Have some wonderful specialty items for Mother's Day. Retailers do that simply because it's Mother's Day. But I'm not here this morning to talk about retailers and encourage you to participate in one or the other. I'm here to praise the true value of all women, and especially motherhood. And of course, this is from my male perspective. True motherhood is a lifetime task. It's not easy. By the time a child reaches 18, according to one study, a mother has had to handle some 18,000 extra hours of child-generated work. A mother once said, "The joy of motherhood is what a woman experiences when all the children are finally in bed." True motherhood is a calling, a privilege, and if handled right, I'm told, a pleasure. Before I continue, I must make it clear that Mother's Day is not a celebration for everyone. It can be a difficult time for some. Many women would love to have children, but for some reason they could not. And some people did not or do not have the best mother in the world either. And others have simply lost their mother. So today is a difficult day. Sadly, some mothers have lost their children, and it's compounded in that fashion. And others carry the guilt of a wayward child that they're having difficulty with. To them, Mother's Day is a difficult day, and we can understand that and certainly help those that are struggling get through this day. We also remember this morning and pray that despite of some of the mother's challenges, this can be a special day for many of them. I was talking to a friend about influential mothers, and when a quote was shared, "When a father is not happy, who cares? But when a mother is not happy, nobody is happy." For this is most certainly true. Okay, I added the part "for this is most certainly true." It's not in Luther's Small Catechism. Please know that. But most of us would agree that moms rule. Moms are awesome. There's a great saying from Napoleon Bonaparte, the French emperor and military commander. He said, "The hand that rocks a cradle rules the world." And then Ralph Waldo Emerson, a 19th century writer, said, "Men are what their mothers make them." Think about that. Now moving towards the Bible, there are some great portraits of motherhood in our scriptures. There's, of course, the Virgin Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. There's, of course, the mother or stepmother of Moses, who cared so much for her son that she broke the law in order to teach him the faith of his people. Proverbs 31, found in the Old Testament, which in part was our call to worship this morning, tells the story of a mother of a king who gave advice to her son about godly living and how to pick a good wife and mother. And there are many sermons that are given this day based on Proverbs 31. And of course, one of the most powerful stories of a mother's love is the mother who went before King Solomon, who was able and willing to give her child another chance because she didn't demand what others had demanded. She wanted no harm to come to him. Historically, we know that a mother can make a significant spiritual impact in the child's life. I want to give you an example. You'll recognize the last name here, Susan Wesley. She is a mother of 17 children. Yikes! 17 children, two of which you may know of, John and Charles Wesley. They were the pillars for the Methodist movement in Europe and here in America. She specifically would spend at least 1 hour each week with each of her children to talk to them about spiritual matters. She wanted them to know Jesus Christ and his power in their life. So it's no wonder that her children, many of them, became powerful witnesses for God and brought blessings not only to England, to Europe, but also here to America through that Methodist church movement I mentioned a moment ago. I don't know if Mrs. Wesley's children wrote poems. I know they wrote songs, but I have a poem to share with you. Here goes. She fed me when I was hungry. She laundered all my clothes. She helped me study history and wipe my dirty nose. She often wiped my fevered brow. She taught me to ride a bike. She even taught me how to eat the food I did not like. She wore old and faded clothes so I could wear something new. She set an example so I would know what to say and what to do. She often worked from dawn to dusk to make our house a home. While singing like a bird, her eyes with love's light shone. Now wrinkles grace her brow, her hair has turned to gray, and I begin to wonder how I'll live without her someday. My own mother, still living on her own, in her own home, turned 91 in January. And much of what I just read applies to her raising five children and the sacrifices made. Did some of what I shared apply to your mom or to you as a mom? Some of the words in the poem probably rang true. Almost all of us have fond memories of our moms. Some of us may not, but almost all of us do. And we have memories of the home we were raised in as well. And when we think of one mom, we think of the other, home. Remember the sounds and the sights and the smells of home. Remember the smell of baked cookies and the taste from licking the spoon of the batter, and then the warm cookies that came out of the oven. I better regain focus here. You're going to start thinking about cookies during fellowship hour time. When I was praying about what Bible references we should look at for today, my heart landed on familiar ones, which is often the case. You heard our readings from Exodus and then from 1 Corinthians, and I want to dig into Exodus chapter 2, verse through 10. First, that's a familiar story to so many of us, right? The Egyptians wanted to limit the population of males. So how do they do that? They kill them, males that were born, young, innocent children. That's the way it was at that time. But in spite of that, a man from the house of Levi, the tribe of Levi, marries a woman also from the tribe of Levi. Notice that. They're both from the same tribe. It's interesting that Moses' mother and father are not named here. They're just highlighted by the tribe that they are a part of, the tribe of Levi. And it's significant for that point in that story in the book of Exodus, being of that tribe, one of the 12. The result of that union is that the woman conceived and bore a Hebrew son. And some of us may recall from our Bible knowledge, the chapter 1 of the book of Exodus lays out Pharaoh's plan to have children, boys, killed just to protect his power. It's a historically accurate find. You can look through history, not just biblical history, but history, and find this to be true. It was a result of Pharaoh's decree that these children, these boys, would be killed. And of course, this troubled the mother when she saw that her newborn, a newborn son, was beautiful. To say that he was beautiful in the Hebrew means that he was a happy and healthy newborn child. This was a violation of Pharaoh's decree, keeping this child. And apparently the circumstances got to the point where she couldn't hide him any longer. After months, we're told that she got a wicker basket. And this is meaningful, actually. She got a wicker basket. The Hebrew word for wicker basket is significant because it's the same word used in the Hebrew regarding Noah's ark. Contemplate that for a moment. The mother made it waterproof when she covered it with tar and pitch. The same as we're told that Noah did in Genesis 14. Using tar and pitch on the ark. And just as Noah's ark was an instrument of saving lives, Moses' little ark was an instrument in saving his life. And as many of you know, Moses then became a deliverer for the chosen people of God. What a blessing. After her ark was complete, the mother put her child into it and set it among the reeds in the Nile. How Moses' mother came up with the idea that if I just set this wicker basket, this little ark out there, he'll be okay. I'm not sure, but God may have been guiding her in this miraculous plan. But she placed a basket near where the Egyptian women would bathe. The royal blood was there. And the royal blood responded to finding this child, this boy, in this wicker basket. We know from Scripture that Moses' sister stood at a distance, sort of spying on what was going to happen. She stationed herself just a short while away. Her name was Miriam, if you weren't aware. In verses 7 through 9, Moses is found in the basket. Pharaoh's daughter could have obeyed her father's desires and simply turned the child over to be killed, but she chose not to. Praise God. Instead, Pharaoh's daughter called on a Hebrew woman who just happened to be Moses' mom, who just happened to be able to help nurse him. God has this all together in his plan. We worship a God that knows everything and works everything for his good. Let's focus on our second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I have used this love chapter, as it's called, dozens of times at weddings. And maybe you've heard it as well at many weddings. But this text is a blessing for us because it also gives us a reflection into moms, into motherhood. This is in part what you heard earlier. Love is patient. Love is kind. Oftentimes, that's a great descriptor of moms. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. I don't think my mom was easily angered. She does remember a lot, though. Even now. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Oftentimes, that's a great description of mom. The Bible references touches on the attributes of a Christian woman, let alone a mother, especially that love is patient part. Now allow me to begin to wrap up by highlighting verses 26 and 27 from John 19. In part, in this text, we hear Jesus saying to his mom, now let me set the stage. Jesus is actually hanging on the cross at this time. And he says, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. Powerful statement, coming near the end of his life, earthly life, gasping probably for air at this time, trying to straighten up on the cross. And he has the blessing to talk to his mom at that moment. The blessings are there for us in our life if we look for them, not just in Scripture, but in our daily life. Sons and daughters here present and online, are you a blessing to your mom? Or do you have blessed memories of your mom? Before you answer that, I want to give you part two of this Mother's Day message. Take a moment and think back. Think back to when you were a child. We don't always see the significance of what our mom said when we were children until we become an adult, and for some of you, until you became mothers and then started replicating what your mom did. When we begin to sound like our mom, we take on her attributes in regards to this. Maybe some of you will resonate with this. Maybe some of you heard these statements I'm going to share in a moment as you were growing up. Don't run with those scissors. You could trip and poke your eye out. If you keep making that face, it'll stick. Don't run in the house. You're going to wear that? Oh, no, you're not going to wear that. You can't afford to go to the lake yet. You have to wait an hour after you eat before you go in. Why? because I said so. And you'll get cramps if you don't. That's why. Yes, we're almost there. Don't chew with your mouth open. Don't talk with your mouth full. No, you can't have that candy. It'll spoil your dinner. I don't care what so-and-so's mother said. You still can't do it. Don't put that in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Because those vegetables are good for you. By the way, cauliflower and broccoli, really don't know if they're good for you. Anyways, if everyone else was jumping off the bridge, would you? Did you really wash your hands? You may recognize some of those. Maybe you've said some of those. Maybe you're still saying some of those. But when you think about it, mothers make us civilized. Mothers make us civilized. We're born with a wild nature, a wild will, actually, especially little boys. We're inclined to pull the dog around by its tail. We're inclined to find a magnifying glass and find some ants at the same time and maybe play with dirty worms. Mothers make us civilized. Not long after we arrive in life, we insist on running willy-nilly, stick in hand, sucker in mouth, into the street, into the lake just after we ate, and right towards the fire pit as well. We do these things. But then, in a sense, mothers tame us, civilize us. It's no wonder some of us think of our mothers as saints because we reflect back on what we put them through. Or what our brothers or sisters put them through, more likely. Loving us when no one else would or could, our mothers did. Hugging us when we were sad. Cautioning us against that tempting gum under the table at the restaurant. Where would we be without moms? Some of us most certainly would not be where we are today, at this very moment, without our loving moms. Or our memories of our moms. So today, give thanks for moms, whether she's sitting next to you or sitting near you or sitting near the right hand of God in heaven. Moms are truly a blessing from God. I'd like to invite the praise team to come forward and prepare as we're going to sing another song here in a few moments, but I would invite the rest of you to bow your heads in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your son Jesus, for his mother Mary, who raised him perfectly to do your will and watch him die for us on the cross. Father God, although we want to applaud all mothers who take the task seriously, we bring before you the mothers who do not, who need your guiding hand. And also we remember the women who cannot have children. Be present with them. We pray for those who have lost their loving children and those too who cannot enjoy today because of their mother being gone into heaven or their daughter or their son not connecting with them. Jesus, be with each and every mom and child throughout this great country and make their day a very special one to remember. And all of God's people rejoiced and said, Amen. And now at this time, we sing together a powerful, sometimes emotional song, Born in Cry. Thank you, praise team. We're going to enter into a time of prayer at this moment before sharing in the Lord's Prayer. So would you bow in prayer? As we join together, Lord, we give thanks for the tithes and offerings returned to you through Harbor of Joy. We give thanks that people are willing to make sacrificial giving of a financial offering to build your kingdom. We thank you for those efforts to follow your word. God, we give thanks that you received Mabel into heavenly glory. May all her family and friends be comforted by that knowledge. And be with the family and friends of Mariah Waki, who is now blessed with eternal life. Jesus, we ask you to guide and bless elected leaders throughout this great country. May they hear your voice daily. And Holy Spirit, be with us, the Harbor of Joy family, as we journey together, seeking to glorify you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now we join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Stand at this time as we sing better when we're standing. We're singing Living for Jesus. Receive the benediction. Lord, be with you in powerful ways throughout this day. May he go before you to clear a path for you. May he walk beside you to be your friend. And may the Holy Spirit be behind you, pushing you into the life he desires for you. And we give thanks to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And our sending here, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Ladies, don't forget to pick up your flower.